Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Welcome once more to the GAA Hour here on Sports Joe. Be sure to repost any of our content as it's so important to help us grow. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening to us on and tell your friends about us as well. Dan Casey here with you, and I'm once again delighted to be joined here firstly by Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. Lee, we'll start with you this time. How are you, sir?
I've been better. Dan, I've been better.
Tyrone had a poor all weekend. We'll get into it now.
No, we won't. We won't. It's fine. We'll talk about all the other stuff, but I've been better.
Niall, how are you getting on? It's been tip, another poor weekend.
I think it's going to be a depressing show, Dan. Between myself and Lee.
Wrap it up there. Through with our masks, look. It wasn't a loss anyway. Well, plenty to look forward to on today's show. But first, looking even further back, and we're going for the replay now with the big talking point, I suppose, out of last weekend was Kyle Heenan's stamp on Jason Foley. And then off the back of that, he's only received one match ban off the CCC. I said here, I could think of another C word for them after that, to be honest. Like, dear Christ, when I said if they don't give a retrospective ban, it's last week, it's neglecting player welfare. I didn't mean for it to be okay to only get a one shagging match ban. If I had my way, the season probably would have been over, but that has to be at least a 5 or 6 game ban, not just missing out on a singular league game. He meant to do that. And what kind of message are the GAA CCCC sending out here? It's absolutely ridiculous. Stevie Wonder could see he meant to do it, for fuck's sake. I mean, O'Connor came out and said it was a separate incident to the one when Foley got taken off, but it's like murder, attempted murder. Like, he's still, and I keep going back to it, he's still checking mental, he still tried it. And the words Mikel Arteta is a disgrace. Niall, you probably thought a one-match ban was too harsh, you did.
It was a bit excessive, no, I think, a one-match ban for Kyle Heenan. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Like,
I don't think it is. Come on.
I suppose, look, Jack O'Connor said it was a separate incident. I don't really know why he would say that if it wasn't a separate incident and Foley did play on. So maybe, but look, that is, as you said, that's probably beside the point. It was a bad act from Heenan, but look, these things can happen. You don't make excuses for it, but I suppose you have to move on from it too. Like, they are only amateur.
The GAA man is coming out nice and
but
strong.
But look, we've all made.
He's a great club man, yeah. You know. His family, I'm sure, were there for years. Great service to Rathbone.
I'm sure they were to the Michael Glavy's club, which is where he's from. But look, we've all made mistakes on the pitch, and I'm sure that he regrets it, and he'll be happy to move on.
Do you think he should apologise to Foley? Not even publicly, I'm saying, but
I'd say he probably will. I'd say, yeah, I'd say so. But look, we definitely won't find out. I'm sure he regrets it definitely, and he'll move on.
I'm sure he does. Lee, one match ban in excess.
Yeah, well, I think Ross Common are probably delighted about that, because they were maybe preparing to appeal the ban, as you get a really successful track record when you appeal against the CCCCC. But after seeing the footage and only getting the one match ban, I'd say they're probably happy enough with it, to be fair. They'll take the more honourable route, and they're like, no, we'll just accept our punishment and sort of go on. I thought three match ban would have been in and around the right amount, just after seeing the footage and stuff like that. But yeah, it's one of them things you just gotta.
I thought they always used to go with weeks in the GA, week. Well, they do. Yeah, they changed it up or something.
Hopefully though, because that's ridiculous too. Because it's always, you know, it's always in the off season they tend to finally agree on those, and it turns out they don't miss any football. You know, so
they must have changed it now. Anyway. They're saying one match ban for this one. They must have changed it.
Yeah,
that's the way it should be. Competitive matches as well, like
definitely. Yeah,
yeah.
Right, let's throw in the ball and talk about some Gaelic games action. Plenty of league hopes were up for decision this weekend, even though we kind of knew what was happening anyway, but look, we'll keep some suspense there. But plenty of places, or as two places were available in the National Hurling League final as well. And we'll start with the football. We'll get to the good stuff later. Kerry, 15 points. Galway, 110. The main thing for me is jersey rip stuff is getting really, really weird. It was Cathal Sweeney a few weeks back, and it was Paul Conroy over the weekend. Like, Lee, what is it all about? Like, just ripping a lad's jersey? Like,
I don't know. I'd be mortified if someone ripped my jersey on a pitch. But and then that's what I was saying. I'd be even more mortified if I tried to rip someone's jersey and I couldn't. I've never attempted it before, but it actually seems to be, you know, it looks like it'd be tough enough. I'm not sure. The point of it is just beyond me. Like, and then I think he got a yellow card for doing it in that match. But just nip it in the bud, send him off, and then that'll be the end of it, surely, you know.
Yeah, Paul Connery going around like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
But he was happy enough, you know. Like,
showing off, at least he had abs.
Yeah, I remember it happened to Con Kilpatrick in the All-Ireland final against Mayo. And, he took all the time in the world to put the shirt back on, you know. Everyone watching, he made sure he got his photos. But why not? Like, he maybe told him to rip it for him.
maybe that's it. It's like an inter-county version of, you know, secondary school pocketing.
That's exactly what it's like.
Niall, is it strange?
It is strange, yeah. I was actually watching the Conroy one, and like, it was kind of half ripped before Adrian Spillane got to it. He had a little row with Barry Dan O'Sullivan in the corner, and you could see that Conroy was bulling with this, because O'Sullivan, there was a kind of a little, we'll call it a schmozzle down the corner, and
Frackus.
O'Sullivan ripped it, and O'Conroy goes into the umpires and he's like, look at my jersey, like it's half ripped. And he was fired up, he went down the other end of the field and scored a brilliant point. And he was, you know, he looked like the man, like with the jersey half ripped, getting the point. Galway will come back into the game. And you could see, it was funny looking at Adrian Spillane, like when they had the little kind of coming together. Like, Spillane could see that the jersey was ripped, and then he just, like, you can see the moment he's like, fuck it, I'm just going to rip the whole thing here. Like, and then it was like, Conroy was obviously walking around like he was wearing a jacket, like, and
he was only half loving it.
it was brilliant, wasn't it? But yeah, like, Spillane got a yellow card. You couldn't send a lad off for ripping a jersey.
But you send him off once and that's the end of it. Then you don't need to worry about it again.
Do you think it should be a yellow card offence?
I think it should be a red card offence.
Like, the ref, in fairness to him, he just took that on upon himself. It was Seamus Mulhare from Leash. He was just like, yesterday, like, that's yellow. Because it's not actually rule book. Like, so he was just like, you deserve the yellow.
And once you open it for interpretation, then it's just going to be messy.
But, like, it really is becoming a thing now. It's like in hurling, you know, grabbing the face guard is a thing for a long time. Still is a thing. It's kind of like the football version of that.
It's not a red card, though. I'm sorry. It's not, like.
If it keeps continuing, it keeps continuing. I think it's getting weird. It's just...
It
a
is
terrible
weird,
to look at and terrible look on the GA.
It's always Kerry, isn't it? Wasn't it Kerry and Tyrone there? Who has had their jersey ripped that day?
Was it? It's like they've been mauled by Tigers.
Dirty, game,
like.
Do you remember that one? Was it Kilpatrick again?
He got
it ripped that day, and then there was.
Yeah, and to be fair, there's a pattern there with Kilpatrick. But he's maybe half ripping it himself before he goes out to see.
Right, Magic Mike takes on Killarney. It was a terrible looking turnout there as well. But Kerry fans wouldn't be known for being far behind the Kilkenny fans in those stakes. Killian Spillane, big game for him to put a claim to starting jersey. Lee, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. He's sort of been on the peripheral of the team the last couple of years, and we're always sort of waiting for him to push on because he's so skillful, he's so direct, he's fast. You know, he's got it all, but it just doesn't always seem to click for him. A part of that's probably from being in and out of the team. You know, it's hard to get a rhythm and a bit of a routine. But my favourite point in Gaelic football is when you throw the dummy solo with one foot, spin around and then knock it over with the other. Like, I just think it's like, you know, it looks like a work of art. And he did that in the first half. And he got like a real rapturous round of applause, you know, like proper, like the respect in the stadium was like, ah, nice.
Bit of a hush.
Yeah, like that's the stuff there. And, you know, and I think he kicked 4 points in total. And like if Jack O'Connor can get a tune out of him, whether that is as an impact sub or if he breaks onto the team, you know, then Kerry in a very healthy place.
I think there's a spot there from, like, I was trying to pick the Kerry forward line there this morning, and there's probably 9 forwards that are coming to head for me. So, like, if Darragh Moynihan, Sean O'Shea and Paddy Clifford, that's probably a given, I'd say, in the half forward line. And then in the full forward line, you could have Killian Burke out in the half forward line as well, but you've Clifford, you've Killian Spillane, you've Geaney, O'Brien, Tony Brosnan fighting for a spot, like, do you know? So I thought Killian Spillane was good yesterday, but like it was still kind of, you're probably at times he kind of flatters to deceive a little bit in that he dropped 2 balls into Conor Gleeson's hands and had 2 wides when you're probably expecting him to score because he's done everything. He probably does the hard part and then misses when you really expect him to score. But I do think he was their biggest outlet yesterday, and if it was to come down between himself and say Paul Gainey or Stephen O'Brien for a spot, I'd probably give him the nod just because I think he's if he can really get his confidence. We've seen very little of him in the league. He must have had some sort of an injury in the last few weeks, but if he plays now, he'll get his chance in Munster, definitely. Yeah, and I think if he takes it, he'll be worth a starting spot there, because it's a brilliant forward line, isn't it, with the 9-10 lads there. Like,
yeah, and you can really earn a spot under Jack. Like, he's open to that. You look at the progression of Joe O'Connor this year, the midfielder. You know, he couldn't get a game 2 years ago when they won the All-Ireland, but now he's one of the first names on the team sheet, right at the heart of midfield, and he's one of their most important players.
I'll stick with you here, Lee. That was goal to concede from Kerry was absolutely shocking.
Yeah, it wasn't a good one. Now, to be fair, I don't know. It was just one of them. It was a complete lack of concentration and a bit of a lack of jeopardy. I think they nearly wanted to make the game exciting. Thank God it did happen, because it was getting to be a bit of a hard watch.
Yeah.
And you sort of knew that nothing was really on the line. I know there was an off chance that Galway could get relegated, but you never really felt like they were going to. And fair play to Galway, you know, they capitalised on it and they did turn it into the game. And we know all about their injuries and stuff. So for them to, you know, to make a match of it was sort of the most we could have asked for them.
And no Clifford as well. He must be still in Roscommon flogging the Clifford catchers.
Yeah, that's it. It was better hire me as his PR. I'd be out of here so fast. It could be straight down to the Clifford catchers company.
Just on that,
the real CCC.
The Galway goal. It was the short kick out that caught, and it was Gavin White who was caught out. Like, and he was obviously caught in the All-Ireland final last year for the mistake that led to Paddy Small's goal. So I say it's just because he's such an exceptional player at times, Gavin White. It's like little small mistakes that he makes kind of catch him out. So it's probably something that I'd say he'll be reminded of in video analysis this week. I know they're heading out to
Portugal. I would say he will know himself.
But one thing on that is, like, if you're the one that's maybe made that mistake in terms of getting the short kick out, it's because you're the one that's always showing for it. You know, and that's maybe an attribute of his. Like, he's always going to make himself available and call him for it. And then what he's guilty of is maybe calling for it when he shouldn't. You know, but that sort of bravery and stuff, you know, is maybe a real asset to his game. But yeah, no, absolutely, he'll not want to watch that back.
Niall, how do you think Kerry coped without the 2 Cliffords?
Sure, not too bad. Spillane, he was probably the main man that stepped up. They were missing Darragh Moynihan as well, who I think has had a brilliant league campaign. Dermot O'Connor too. So, like, they were missing a few lads, and they did cope well. Like, you're probably, like Killian Spillane, you're maybe hoping for a little from Dara Roach to do a little bit more than maybe he did yesterday to stake a claim. But thought they played well. It probably wasn't the most exciting game because there wasn't a huge amount riding on it. But your man in the corner back, Armin Heinrich is his name. He's from Austin Stacks. He was the centre back
from like West Germany.
Yeah, he was centre back on the under-20 team last year, and he's an absolute beast of a man and was very good yesterday. So he could be a lad that will come in and make a difference for them. And they'll be delighted as well that Brian O'Bugleek was back. I think that was his first game at a league as well. So They'll be happy enough. They're heading off to Quinta del Lago in the Algarve, I think today or tomorrow.
Quinta,
so like it's enjoyable times for the Kerry.
So it's a grand old week for the old team holidays, isn't it? I think Limerick are heading off as well now.
No need to rip jerseys, just walking around topless. Weather, that's it.
The Cork footballers were there last week, and John Cleary, heard an interview with him, he was giving out that it wasn't sunny enough, wasn't as warm. It's going to be warmer for Kerry, he said. So they're heading to the same place, actually. Kerry are heading to the same place as Cork were last week. It's where a lot of the teams are going.
I hope he's shat in their kettle. Right. Are we moving? Is anyone going to piss
down here? That's what you were going to say.
You're going to like follow on, like you can just laugh.
Shat in their kettle.
Right. There was a great bit of drama as well at the end. It was like during NFL Hail Mary.
Oh yeah.
When the ball
was
coming in. Could have been a goal there as well.
It was definitely a 45. Like, it came off Ty Morley's head. It was clear as day, and the Galway boys were raging. In fairness to Gleeson, he made some effort, and it would have been an unbelievable goal if he got that. But it would have been some steal from Galway if they won that game.
Yeah, it was a bit like Kildare and Louth. They were in a similar situation going forward. You do love watching that. Like, everything hangs in the air, and all the systems and everything just go completely out the window, and you go right back to 80s football. It's like, this ball's coming in, hey, and whoever wants it most is winning it.
Yeah, Gleeson wanted it. Like, he just wasn't far off.
Is the injury plaguing Galway thing, is that running a bit thin at this stage, Lee, do you reckon? Or are they well within the rights to keep going on about it?
Well, I don't think they have really been going on about it. Like, we go on about it nearly for them. I think they've handled it very well. I mean, survival in Division 1 is probably what they wanted anyway. They maybe would have wanted to do it with a couple of games to spare. But they got there in the end. And like, I've been thinking about this, you know, they've won the last two Connacht championships. And last year in the final against Sligo, it was a bit of a damn squib of a match. You know, they sort of sleptwalked through it. Ever since Galway and Roscommon sort of broke that Mayo stranglehold on the Connacht Championship, it's just not as important anymore. Like, I don't think it'll be as high up in their priority list. So, like, if they go in, you know, all these players aren't back for the championship. They're not back for the Connacht Championship. If they were to go out in the Connacht Championship, they would have a good long, was it like 4 or 5 weeks before that group stages thing begins, and all of their forwards could be back by then. If they do get through in Connacht and progress, then those new players will get bedded into championship football, and they can sort of integrate the injured players back slowly as they come in. But it all leads to the situation where if everything goes perfect, by the time the group stages come round, they could be in a situation where they might just be able to ambush this All-Ireland, you know, all these players back fresh, and the spotlight of expectation wouldn't be on them either. So, you know, just in the long grass kind of situation.
Speaking of, I don't know if speaking of in the long grass is the right term, but Dublin, 5-11, Tyrone, 12 points, Leith, talk to me here, 21 point, ass whooping.
You've moved this up the running order, I didn't.
5-21, was it? You're getting a 5-11 there, buddy. It's 5-21, I think, is it?
Is it?
Yeah. did I put in the wrong results?
Or 5-18. 5-18, 12 points.
Yeah. Do you know what? It was a frigging cricket score anyway. Like, so is it? Listen, there's no good has come out of that game, to be honest, from a Tyrone point of view. Like, there are... Like, no, there's no point in even really making excuses about like personnel missing in the back line. I did an article last year that when Tyrone don't have Ronan McNamee in fullback, they're just so overly dependent on Paddy Hamsey to knit everything together, and we look a little bit fragile. Now, when you don't, Ronan McNamee's retired, Paddy Hamsey didn't play yesterday, and we just, like, the difference that it showed. I mean, the scrambling at the back, they look so passive, they look so open. Dublin could literally hold on to the ball for as long as they wanted to in the Tyrone half, and they didn't want to hold on to it long because they wanted to get it into the net, and it looked like he more or less let them.
It looked like a challenge game. For that first goal, it was shown, and you know, in the TG Car, when they were showing the small screen, and they kicked the ball down to the corner, and it was literally like a challenge game, and there was nobody in Croke Park either, but Croke... Tyrone were putting no pressure on Dublin, and they worked it across to Colin Baskell, and you were just like, what is going on here?
No, but this is the thing. Like, I mean, Tyrone would have always been, like, they would have been praised for their intensity and their tackling and how rigid they can be. And then they would have been criticised for maybe not being the most beautiful team to watch in the world. And now it's nearly the opposite, because if you actually see, they've got 12 points, and if you watch them, some of them are unbelievable. Like Darren McCurry's, you know, he's selling two boys and popping them over. Cal McShane was scoring good points. Rory Canavan got four. And they're playing some really beautiful football. But when you're so passive and open at the back, I couldn't care less. Do you know, I'd rather go way back to the days, you know, where we were just hounding down every ball that was coming your way and nick a 2-point win.
Are you saying Toronto have gone a bit soft?
I know. I said they play too good football. That's what I'm saying. They're almost too perfectionist. Well, they're too much of the purists in them.
What was the thing at the start where they all came out in their club tops?
I don't know. I'd say it was something that Duher was trying. You know, managers try all these things. I know Mickey Hart told the story before that he once got them all to bring grass from their club pitches, and he went around the bus and collected it in like a little bag. And then, because they were playing really poor away from home, and then before the match he gave them all blades of the grass and they had to put it in their boots, so technically they were playing on home soil, like Tyrone soil.
Good Christ.
Yeah, and they won, so who knows in that game. So I don't know, it's, you know, they're maybe just trying to switch something
the turf after that anyway.
Yeah. So this is maybe something about, like, you're not just representing Tyrone, you're representing your parish and all of this here and stuff, you know. But
all the good it did him.
I couldn't end it worse.
I actually liked the idea yesterday.
It was neat. I loved watching, like, sort of the club kits and seeing who's from where and what way they've gone with it, you know.
It's just a bad day.
It's just a bad day.
It doesn't look good when it ends like that.
Lee, who impressed you most from the Dublin team?
I don't know. I don't like them. I don't know all at the minute. Colin Pascal is just
an app. 2-3, like.
Jesus, he is a powerhouse now. Like a proper elite forward, you know. Anyone who can start in that Dublin team is probably one of the best in the country anyway. But now he's like in a situation where if you had to pick between him and, say, like a Paul Mannion, you know, and you're forced, like he's in the conversation, which is just crazy to think when you think of the talents of Mannion. But everything, like from start to finish, he was just monstrous. And then at the very end, I can't remember who it was, went for a point, but he was screaming for it to, you know, to square it to him to get another goal, a fucking sixth goal, like, and he went mental that they didn't square it. And I was just like, hey, we're already dead, man, you know, chill out.
It's Simpsons, like, stop, he's already, yeah.
But he, you know, but that it just highlights his mentality, you know, like a true out and out forward, like, you know, let's put her foots on their throats and keep them there, get as much as we can. Just ruthless.
Niall, who impressed you?
Killian McGuinness is a lad who he's a very young lad, and he's been brilliant. Scored two points, I think, last week against Galway. Got three here. I think Niall Scully is back to his best. He's in brilliant form, and you can see it from the way he finished that first goal. Just pure confidence, like, and you'd be very frightened of the way that Dublin are just demolishing everyone, really. Like, they've demolished Kerry, they've demolished Tyrone, Galway. Like, has anyone, Monaghan beat them, that was the first day of the league. Like, has anyone laid a glove on them, really, in the form that they're in?
Surely the most impressive league campaign. I know it didn't start amazingly, but, like, the way they finished it now the last few games.
Yeah, like, even giving Derry a bit of a clip, and I know Derry were missing a few up in Celtic Park that day, but, geez, Dublin have just been unbelievable. And Desi Farrelly saying that they've Stephen Cluck, he was togged out yesterday.
Poor Evan Comerford, like.
And David O'Hanlon.
He's looking over at him being like, Jesus, I'm never getting a shagging
would
game.
Would you just retire?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, King Charles waiting for the Queen to die. He was like, Jesus Christ, you ever just fuck off.
He'll be 40 himself when he gets the chance.
Yeah, and James McCarthy and Mick Fitzsimons. Well, they'll even struggle to get into the team the way some of them boys are playing.
And Jack McCaffrey.
At the minute, Jack McCaffrey wasn't playing yesterday. Like, you know, they're just, the strength in depth is just unbelievable there at the minute. Larkin O'Dell got 1-2 yesterday. I'm looking forward to that league final, though. That's going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, on that, Sean Kavanagh comes out in Sunday game yesterday and says, Derry and Dublin are the best teams in the country and by a long way. Should he know better than to write off the boys in the kingdom, Kerry?
Oh, yeah. A true man writing off Kerry. That'll go down a treat. I wasn't too sure he's writing them off. I'm wondering if he's just forgetting. Like, I mean, it's fair enough to say.
You can't say that and forget them.
Like, I think it's fair enough
forget
to say
about them.
Surely
far
the two
as
teams in the trophy, the two teams in the final are the two best in the country at the minute. Like, is that not a fair enough statement?
Yeah, but by a long way.
Well, that's maybe the difference. But both of them beat Kerry.
Yeah, but Derry are Dublin not along Kerry with better well, than Kerry. Fair. Yeah, they did. But Derry are not along with better than Kerry.
No, I don't think so.
Like, who would you be backing in the morning? In the All-Ireland semi-final, who are you backing?
Kerry.
Kerry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would as
no,
well.
No, yeah,
even
absolutely.
Though Derry, it'll be tight. Like, I'd probably back a draw.
If you back a draw in those games, the odds are usually good.
Yeah.
They're always tight as well. Truth be told, it was embarrassing. Brian Duerk came out and said this. Lee, was it embarrassing as a grown man?
It was really embarrassing. I didn't want to do the show because I knew I was going to be under the spotlight here talking about it. Listen, I mean, like, even the most half-class full Tyrone fans, you know, would maybe look at like the 2021. They got absolutely annihilated by Kerry in the last game of the league. They conceded like 6 goals. I think they lost by 16. And they went on to win the All-Ireland and stuff. And, you know, you're looking at that, maybe.
Yeah.
But, because Tyrone are very good at having that little siege mentality and they can turn things around pretty quick. But we haven't seen any evidence of that in the last 2.5 years. Do you know, is that gone now? You know, because we'd be reliant on it, but the consistency is just isn't there. I can't remember the last time since that All-Ireland winning season the Tyrone put back-to-back performances together. Like, off my head, I can't at all.
The only thing I'd say is that, like, when a team knows they're safe and they don't have anything to play for, like, it was just one of those games, I'd say, Tyrone were just like, let's just get this over it. It's not that big a game. And it just went against them in the game, which you'd obviously be hoping that they put up more of a fight. But they were missing their 5 best players, as far as I'm concerned. Peter Hart, Michael McKernan, Conor Myler, Derek Hanavan and Park Hampsey. So I wouldn't be overly, I think they've had a good league campaign and these things can happen. You obviously don't want them to happen too often.
It's poor on the fans though, not giving your all.
Yeah.
Sort of what it looked like.
Yeah, like if they had lost by 12, that would have been bad. But we would be saying all of that. But 21 is just, that's crazy, crazy score,
like. Yeah, like Rory Canavan didn't get on the scoreboard till the 50th minute, like Owen Merchant took him out of the game, like altogether.
Then Engie got 4. I think he ended before Rory Cannon.
Did he?
Yeah, but Owen must have just got tired, or like, well, you know, go for a run, you know. But yeah, no, that's it. Like, and Derek Canavan didn't come on. Dar McCurry came off. Callum McSheehan came off. Just about getting boys ran out in Croke Park, and you just got to turn it into something. Like, how can we get anything out of this in terms of positives? They wouldn't have got too many.
It can't get any worse.
Yeah, suppose. Could have been 22 points, you know.
What's Tyrone's hopes coming into Ulster now?
Who knows? Like, it's so bizarre. Like, who knows? Like, I mean, is that Tyrone team, everyone fitting well, good enough to win Ulster? Yeah. Will they win Ulster? Probably not, because you need to get momentum and you need to get a run of games together. And they just show little to no history of that in the last 2.5 seasons.
We'll move on to a bit of hurling now. Did you see this game?
I seen bits of it, yeah. I was very depressed. No, this is the day before, sorry. Yeah.
Kilkenny 317, Limerick 115. 8-point win for the Cats. Pity there was no fans there to see it. Niall, was it a poor refereed game?
It was in Park of Cueve, so it was a bit of a trek for the Kilkenny fans, wasn't it?
Limerick managed
the poor,
to get there.
The poor lads.
they were afraid they'd meet me, that's why they didn't come.
Was there more Limerick lads there, was there?
There was, because Kilkenny fans don't travel,
right? Was it a poorly refereed game? There was bits of it that year.
Sorry,
I changed
your mind.
That's not
from they don't travel to they don't show up at all. Go ahead, whatever you were saying there.
Right. Was it a poorly refereed? There was bits of it that year. Like, geez, I don't think that was a free. There, he was probably a little bit harsh on Owen Cody. Was it a second?
Owen Cody one, no.
Yeah,
no.
It's not a yellow,
a
I don't think.
Like yourself, yeah. No, that's not.
There was a few other frees as well.
Peter Casey sending off when he lashed out. That was, I think it was a red card, that one.
That was a red card. And Peter Casey had no complaints himself. He's probably a little bit frustrated. He's had a not the best league campaign. But Paddy Deegan, I think, did give him a little dunt, but like you can't do that, and someone like Peter Casey should know better. In fairness, there was a few moments James Owens just kind of blew for freeze that you were just a little bit confused, like thinking that wasn't free there, but
it was refed poorly for both sides. To be fair, I don't think it would have made
no, I don't think
too
it was
like
the result. I don't think it was hugely. I think the Limerick fans were booing at different stages. They weren't. too happy. But yeah, Kilkenny were definitely the better team. They were very good, and it was just one of those classic Kilkenny performances. Like, I think it seemed to be their kind of target that we've been raving about Keane Lynch here, Dan, the last few weeks, mm-hmm. that how good he was against Tip, how good he was against Galway. And I seen at one stage Adrian Mullen and David Blanchfield dispossessed him and won a free, and the two boys just fist pumping.
It was some job, I'm going to say, taking Lynch out of the game. But
They did take him out of the game. Like, and even for TJ's goal, he was dispossessed. It was John Donnelly and Paddy Deegan were after him. They worked it lovely up to 1-on-1 for TJ. And Keane Lynch was taken off then after 57, one of the first. He took all the big names off, took Hegarty, Declan Hannan, Keane Lynch. Keane Lynch was the first one to have gone, and he was completely out of the game, which is credit to Kilkenny.
Is this chinks in the Limerick armour, or is this just all part of John Kiely's master plan?
Yeah.
Lulling everyone into a false sense of security now. They are going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah. Like, everyone's getting excited. You probably think this is going to be the best thing in the world for them, that this happened. John Kiely has a stick to beat them with in training now, that, you know, things aren't as good as they looked early on in the league, and Everton's perfect. And that can be, it hasn't led to complacency for Limerick in the past, but it could, and maybe it was a bit of that yesterday, but he definitely has a stick to beat them with now. I don't think it was part of his master plan. He said that himself, that it wasn't part of any plan. He said they weren't knocked out of the league on our terms, we were locked out on Kilkenny's terms. And that's definitely how I'd see it as well. I think it was an off day for Limerick. I think a lot of their key players looked off their game. I know it was Sean Finn's first day back. He just looked a bit off the pace. Dermot Burns probably hasn't had his best league campaign. Gillan hurled well. He got 1-3. But Declan Hannan and Don Lukusic said that on Sunday game as well. I know he had the injury last year. He doesn't look to have picked up the pace yet either. So there's definitely a few little worries, but everyone can have an off day, and you probably think that they'll be a different animal in Munster.
Yeah, you don't particularly want to be in the final, in my opinion. You'd want to lose. No, you'd want to lose the semi-final, I would say, but not in the way they perhaps did, because as Kylie said, it wasn't on their terms that they kind of went out.
Yeah.
But to be fair to Kenny, I'm not trying to take anything away from them. They've had a shocking league campaign at times, even if they're in a semi-final. For them to pull out a performance like that was hugely impressive.
Yeah, they probably had a bad start. I remember that day against Cork, they were a bit, weren't great. That was a poor game, but they've definitely picked it up. And the big positive, I think, for Kilkenny is that they've found a few players. Like, and they've probably been crying out for a few players, and that Jordan Malloy, he obviously had such a brilliant club campaign for Loughlin Gaels, and he's just a complete animal to work and a brilliant man to win breaking balls around the middle of the field. He broke his thumb in the first league game and was back with Nashgard on yesterday, and brilliant, absolutely brilliant he was. Shane Murphy, who's Owen Murphy's brother, he's cornerback, and he's going very well too. So they found a few players, Kilkenny as well. So that's a huge positive for Derek Ling, and that was the best performance as far as I could see from any team in the Hurling League so far. So the final coming up against Clare now.
I'd say Cork Offaly or Cork Wexford, I'd say, maybe. But Lee.
Yeah, I think Cork are going well too. So,
Lee, will this help Limerick, do you reckon, overall? Show them they're not, invincible, and there's still a lot of work to be done.
Jeez, if one team needed help, is it Limerick? are they not doing okay regardless? Are they going on a training camp now, did you say?
They are. They're not sure they're not playing championship for a month now as well.
It does seem perfectly set up for them, doesn't it? Like, in that whole training camp, they've got, it'll be off the back of a loss and a chip on the shoulder, and always something to grind them and bring them back to earth. They'll be a dangerous weapon coming back. I'd be petrified.
And you'd say the last 2-3 years, be like, okay, winning Ireland's great and all, but you're doing your 2-3-4 in rows, but that 5 in a row is something special. It's never been done before. Like that, they can say if they don't think about it, but Niall, they absolutely must be thinking about it.
Oh, they will. They will. Look, the first round of the Munster Championship is Clare against Limerick.
What a cracker that's going to be.
There
are additional tickets through the clubs now. I don't know it's going to be all like that throughout all the Munster Championship.
Okay.
I think all the tickets are have to be gone through clubs.
Right. All of them?
I think so. For this clash anyway. I don't know about every game in Munster.
Right. Well, it's 21st of April, so it's less than a month away. It's going to be an unbelievable game because, as we've seen yesterday, Clare are a team on form as well. They beat Limerick last year. As far as I'm concerned, it's Clare, Limerick and Kilkenny are the three best teams in the country. And if anyone's going to beat Limerick, it'll be Clare or Kilkenny. I know, I can see you looking at me there. It's going to be brilliant. It'll be interesting to see. There is little things that I suppose John Kiely will be frustrated about, but
like, looking at that performance, if Dan Morrissey was back there yesterday, I mean, TJ doesn't get that last goal there.
No.
Like, Dan easily takes that.
No, he doesn't get that goal. He just doesn't, like.
I mean, I don't think it's as bad as people are making out. They have so many lads to come back in as well.
Yeah.
Look, also, Kyle Hayes, they'll both make a serious difference come championship.
Yeah, we're all just a little bit petrified of Limerick. We've kind of battled scars as Tip and Cork men. Over the past few years, so you're not going to write them off anyway.
That's for sure. It is now time for Take Your Point, where we go through one bad point of the weekend's action and one good point, and it is not just limited to action on the pitch. Anything goes. Niall, you're up first this time. Your bad point from the weekend's action, one negative.
Yeah, I'm going to start with my bad point, which is actually, it was a bad weekend for goalkeepers. Bad weekend. Conor Carroll had, I'm going to start with him, he had a howler from a short kick out to give away that goal. That was to Declan Cassidy, was it, Lee? He got the first goal.
Yeah, Declan.
For Derry, he finished lovely, but a howler from Conor Carroll. These things can happen. About 2 minutes later, the other end of the field, Oran Lynch, like, he will never want to see that again. He's obviously a very good goalie, but to be caught by a hopping ball like that, like, that's one of the basics, that you don't let a ball bounce over your head. You have to get in front of the bounce, or you have to quit with your head and stay back.
It was a weird bounce, just give him.
He did take a massive bounce.
Yeah, because he's a big man. Like, he's not used to the ball bouncing.
It was just unusual looking. Like, it just looked weird. The whole thing looked strange.
Yeah. And then Shane Ryan had a bit of just for him, by his standards, I thought he had looked a bit shaky in those last few minutes. Whether it was that last kick to Gavin White as well. So bad weekend for goalies. And look, Sean Kavanagh was on the Sunday game and he was kind of making out that Conor Gleeson was scared to hit short kickouts, and you know that he doesn't back himself to hit short kickouts, like, and Conor Gleeson, he loves a good long kick out to the midfield, and I'm a big fan of it as well. I think it's one of Galway's tactics and I wouldn't take that away from him. The one time he did nearly give away a goal was when he hit a short one, so I'm backing Conor Gleeson. Boot that ball out to the middle of the field and let the midfielders fight for it.
Everyone loves when a goalkeeper, like, messes up, though. It makes for great TV at the same time.
Yeah, it definitely does. And they'd have been happy at the weekend because there was a lot of them. Was there any others that you noticed that you were saying goalies were bad as well, or was it just them?
No, there was three. Like, I mean, it was exceptionally just four. Yeah. There's one, maybe two, but
Their mindset's incredible, though, in that they make mistakes, but it does a lot of the time it doesn't affect them the rest of the game.
Oran
Lynch made a really brilliant, like, diving, fully stretch save, you know, a little while after that. I mean, if I had made a mistake like that, and I'm well capable of it,
it's the hardest position on the pitch, in my opinion. Like, yeah. I mean, the mental strain on you. I know when I was playing in goals, like, however I started the match would depend on how I play the rest of the game. If I started off brilliantly, I'd be fucking superb at times, but if I started off poorly and our poor ball went in behind me, that'd be it. I'd be rolled off for the match and it'd be
absolutely... You're a goalkeeper.
I don't know what level, but under 16 or something like that, but...
Were you short kickouts or were you...
It wasn't football, it was hurling.
Pokeouts?
I throw in the odd short one here and there now, alright? But it got annoying because my vision started getting worse as I got older as well.
Right.
So I couldn't see the ball half the time when it was coming in, especially higher.
Right, so you pull where you think it is.
Straight back down wherever. And yeah, often that would end up behind me and it's just so embarrassing.
That's the classic quote from Tommy Walsh's Lake Grail. He said that Chrissy Ring always says... if you can't see the ball, you pull where you think it is.
Sure, there's something I want to get to on that later. I think we'll talk about in the clear and tape one. Lee, you're bad from the weekend.
I can think of 21 bad points from the weekend. I know we already went into it, but the sort of, yeah, the demolition of Tyrone, that was my, I put a real dampener on my weekend. I found it hard to watch all the other football because it was sort of like, who cares? You know, like you always do that when it's your own county or whatever. But, you know, the more I talk about it, the more I vent, the more I'm getting over it, and the more I'll become siege mentality and hope that, you know, we all turn this into something that'll make it a big shock. And we'll all be talking about this Dublin game in the summer as some huge turning point, and can you believe how good they are now? Fingers crossed.
We'll try to make you happy now. What was your good point from the weekend?
My good point was TG Cahir, sort of soccer Saturday.
NFL red zone. Mm.
Yeah, that's one way of doing it. I didn't know they were going to do that, but it was great to see, you know, last day of the league, they were showing the Kerry-Galway game, but all the action that was happening in the other games at the same time. They'd show you clip the goals or whatever from it, and then they would show you the league table, which is always good because instead of checking all the time and then trying to work it out in your head, you know, Googling it, like what needs to be what and where. The only issue with it was, and it's nothing to do with TG Cahir, was that it just wasn't a very eventful. You know, it was very predictable. We knew it was sort of going to happen, but I do remember last year in the last weekend of the group stages in the championship, it was absolutely chaotic where it was like, Armagh and Galway were in this absolute thriller. Tyrone and Westmeath, John Heslin had a free kick where, and if it had gone over, Tyrone would have been not have gone through to the next stages of the championship. And all of this was happening simultaneously, and it was really, really difficult to follow. Mm-hmm. So TG Cahir or any other broadcaster takes on this sort of style or whatever for them sort of moments, I just think it'll lead to great view.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be done more in the GAA if there's, you know, multiple matches on the same time. Do it like the NFL red zone where, you know, there might be even a minute, 2 minute delay on the action you're actually seeing, so it's not effectively live, but they're able to spool back and get the best moments from every single match, or if someone gets a cracking point, they'll show it. So
there's times when they go over to another game and you're just tick, like, because you're looking at Tyrone getting absolutely scandalized by Dublin here, like, and there's a good game on the big screen and I'm like, why are they showing me this? Tyrone getting hammered here. Do you know, I like the feature, but I don't want you to be going overboard because then you can't really see either game. Like,
I wouldn't do it for your run of the mill normal game, but like a weekend where it's the last of the league or those championship round robins and stuff, when one game affects the other and the standings of it, you know, I think it's good to keep on top of it.
Niall, your good point.
My good point of the weekend is from the best supporter county in Ireland, Kilkenny. They had a brilliant, brilliant win, first of all. But there was a brilliant interview on TG Cahir after the match with TG Reid and Paddy Deegan. I'm actually a big fan of this new feature that TG Cahir have this year where the captain presents his teammate with the Man of the Match award. I think it's brilliant and you get a bit of crack out of the two of them. And that's exactly what we got with TG Reid and Paddy Deegan. So TJ was funny, like, because Paddy Deegan, you could see as he was holding the microphone, he had the cut hand from where Peter Casey was after giving him the belt that got Peter Casey sent off. And Paddy, obviously, he had to go off for the blood, so for that. But anyway, he was able to do the interview and TJ was there pointing at, like, he didn't have much sympathy for him. He was like, sure, poor Paddy got a belt in his hand or there's a little bit of blood there, talking about it at one stage. And TJ then, obviously, he picked up another Man of the Match award. I don't know where he puts all these Man of the Match awards, lads. He wins, like, a ridiculous amount.
In his socks.
Most of them deserve.
Take up seats in the stands.
But your man, Michal.
Ironically, there would have been more of him there than actual fans.
Moving on. Michal Adon.
Does this make you nervous, the whole kick me going at Kilkenny fans thing? Every time I mention it, you're like, move on. And you're a tip man as well.
You just love bringing it up. Michal O'Donnell, I think, is just, he's just unbelievable, isn't he? From TG Cahir. Like, he's just on the job the whole time. He never misses a game. But anyway, he was like to TJ, another Man of the Match award, TJ, it's definitely not your first. And TJ was like, you'll take it. I only played 55 minutes, I'll take it. Because he did look a little bit confused when he was subbed off, like, because TJ is never subbed off. So I just thought that was good. There was a bit of crack there. But I suppose more seriously was the message that you could get from TJ Reid and Paddy Deegan, that, you know, Michal was asked him about the performance, about the win, about the league campaign, and the boys were, you know, the way a lot of GAA players, they go on and they're like, look, it's early on in the season, Limerick, we're missing a few lads, they won't be too worried. So on. Like Paddy Deegan said, we were the better team today. He didn't talk about Limerick. He talked about the honesty, the attitude, and everything that was brilliant about Kilkenny's performance. And he wasn't shy to say that, you know, we hurled well today. TJ was the same. He praised their attitude, everything about them. Yesterday, yeah, he said, you know, it was just about composure, complete concentration and focus. It was all about the attitude, the honesty from the players. That's what it's all been about the last couple of weeks. And I'm absolutely delighted with the attitude of all the players there. Loved that interview. Thought the boys were very positive to, and in front of all their fans in the stadium, it was great to see it.
What was the last line? It's the first line, the last line. I glazed over everything anyway in between, but I've said the best sporting county in Ireland. Jesus Christ.
Best supported, I said.
Oh, okay.
Not best sporting.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Right, we're heading in for the banana and the cup of tea at half time. Come back to us in the second half. Mayo Monaghan, clear tip.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the second half of the GAA Hour. Now we'll start here with Clare Tip. Clare 124, Tip 213. Tipperary in big trouble for the championship, question mark, Niall?
I think so, Dan, yeah. If you were to ask me the three teams that are going to get out of Munster now, I'd say that Tipperary and Waterford are going to be the two teams who won't. I think Limerick, Clare and Cork.
Yeah.
Limerick, Clare and Cork, to me, look the best equipped heading into the championship. It was a very disappointing performance from Tipperary, and I suppose, like, worryingly similar to the performance against Galway that got us knocked out of the championship last year in the All-Ireland quarter-final. They've been too patchy in games. They're not putting full performances together. Probably not settled under number one team. Like, there's probably a good bit of chopping and changing between, say, a centre-back. Like, you don't know who's going to be a starting centre-back. And so on. There was just lots of different problems. And I suppose the biggest problem yesterday was the free taking. I think they missed 10 wides from frees. Four different free takers, which is unbelievable. 10 wides from frees, 19 wides in total. I think Jason Ford had something like 8 or 9 wides. And look, I'm not worried about a Tipperary free taker because, as far as I'm concerned, Jason Ford and Garrod O'Connor are probably the two best free takers around. Maybe apart from TJ Reid, but I can see you looking at me as if Patrick Horgan should be mentioned here as well. But no, I think Jace Ford will be all right. He's usually deadly with the freeze, so wouldn't be worried about that, but you'd just be worried about the inconsistency.
Yeah, I suppose Cork are sure they were hitting form at the end of the league. Clare certainly hitting form. They've been a serious outfit this league campaign. Limerick, look, sure, Limerick or Limerick, look, poor enough game against Kilkenny, but they'll be absolutely fine.
Like, Clare were missing, like, you have to remember, well,
what game are Tip targeting in Munster if they're to get out? The Cork game is probably huge for them in Turles.
Yeah, the Cork game is huge. They're all, like, that's the way Munster is. You need to win them all, really. Like, yeah, But yeah, the Cork one is probably huge. But the way things are at the minute, I think Cork are in a better shape than Tip. Like, Tip hurled unbelievable against Cork last year and still couldn't beat them down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Like, Tip were brilliant that day, but still couldn't beat Cork. So I'd be just a little bit worried. And Clare were missing their two best hurlers yesterday, Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell. Like, and Tipperary were missing very few. Like, apart from Noel McGrath, John McGrath, and you probably debate, will they be starting, won't they? Clare in a good place.
Has Tony Kelly got any minutes at all on league?
No, because he had ankle surgery at the start of it. The plan was that at the start he'd be back for a championship, and he probably
then
will
you have to factor in Matt Sharpness as well coming back.
I mean, but you know Tony Kelly as well, like, he's just...
Still, there's surely, you know, 10-20% there that's probably going to be lost in that Limerick game.
Yeah, but Tim and Shane O'Donnell, to me, they're just different animals, and they will be, or they'll be good to go, I'd say.
I'm making a bold shout. I think Davey Fitzgerald is going to have a better year than Kelly or O'Donnell.
Fitzgerald,
he's going to be their best player
this year. One of the most low-key, unbelievable players in hurling. Like, he wouldn't have the name that a lot of these lads would have.
He's getting it.
He won an All-Star obviously 2 years ago, could easily have won one last year, but his scoring in the league, I don't have the stats to hand, I should have, but one of the top scorers for playing in the league, 100%, won 3 again yesterday. And it's funny, Kyle Moore said it on commentary, he said there's times you're wondering where has he gone, and then he pops up with a goal or pops up with a point. That's what he does. He gets the scores on the board. He's an animal. And nobody can keep up with him when he gets a yard in you. An unbelievable player.
Yeah, he's the best player of the league for me. I think we even mentioned last week he's the best player for you.
I think so, yeah. Who else? Yeah, nobody else coming to mind anyway.
Lee, anyone coming to mind for you? Best hurler in the league?
I think they're all great.
And look, Clare and me go 8 points up after. Jeez, I don't know how
8
long.
Points to no score, like.
But Tipperary, in fairness, and came back to a degree, which you'd have to admire them for. But like, it's surely warning times that they're so on and off.
So on and off, yeah. Jake Morris, like, has probably been Tip's shining light. He's a goal machine, probably the best finisher, best goal finisher, I would say, in hurling. You give him any sort of a chance and he will finish it. He had a great battle with Adam Hogan yesterday. They were sogging into each other the whole way through the game. And I'd say Jake probably had the better of him, but then Jake was sent off in for a finish. So just compounded.
Off 2 minutes left. Like, it was just like the first thing you're told in hurling, I don't think it should have been a sending off, is to protect your own hand, to put the hurley up behind your own hand when you're going up for a high ball like that, as the lad bin behind you is perfectly entitled to swipe down on you.
Yeah, Roy Hayes.
Like, we're told that from under eights.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like, yeah. Because you could argue that Jake was just pulling on the ball there.
Exactly. So. He probably knew what he was doing.
A little bit of collateral damage, like, that can happen. Like,
but yeah, in hurling, I thought that was kind of fair game. Yeah. But traditions like yourself now, I thought would have been like...
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, you're right, man. You're poking the bear here. But there was just one moment I just want to mention from the Tip game was Sean Ryan was after coming on, and for some reason he was down his own half back line picking up a ball, and he hit it up to the forwards, and there was 3 Clare backs there and nobody from Tip, and it just summed up the day. And you're like, what was that about? Like why was the Tip were 7 points down time? Why is there nobody up in the forwards? Like, it was just it was a mess.
How important is this league final now between Kilkenny and Clare, knowing we could well see this clash in the semi-final once again in the three-peat?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think Clare would love
Kilkenny. Really want to win this after both beating Marty as well.
Yeah, like, people talk about Shadowbox and all that, but both teams will be mad to win this game, to win a national title. Kilkenny haven't won one since they shared that one in the COVID one, which was a joke, to share it with Galway, which was a farce of a decision really at the time. But the last league final they won, to beat Tipperary in 2018, I think I was at it in Nolan Park. It was a brilliant game. They'd love to win. Kilkenny love winning Everton. And Clare could do it. A bit of silverware? Absolutely. Their last one was 2016 under Davy. So I think that's going to be a brilliant game. Really, really looking forward. Because there's a rivalry developing there now, isn't there? Between the last two.
Oh, there definitely is. The Clare players and management just must hate them. Like.
And they have care of the rivalry. Limerick. Clare are just the team now. They're the team that brings excitement to hurling. as far as I can see. Because they have that rivalry with Limerick, which is huge. They have with Kilkenny now.
Once they lost in the semi-final, just got the sense that the actual final itself was going to be a bit of a damper, which it was. But if they were in the final, it would have been
It would have been insane. Like, as you said, Dan, they have a brilliant panel. Like, when they can do this without Kelly and Shane O'Donnell.
Like Rogers, McCarthy, Malone, Kelly, like Kelly coming back, and Fitzgerald.
Keith Smith was probably going well, probably won't be there for the championship. But, like, they've a lot of lads. Dermot Ryan, he's another just a beast of a man, wing back, hurling brilliant, man of the match again. They're really good, Clare, and I think if I was to back a team to win the All-Ireland, I'd be backing Clare now.
After their history, I couldn't pair
with just my money with the Clare. Last two semi-finals, that's a worry, like. But I just think they're coming. I think they're there thereabouts, like.
You said Kilkenny love winning Everton. Is it an award for having no fans? There is. Derry 2-19, Roscommon 1-9. Two terrible goals to concede. Look what you talked about earlier. But both keepers will be happy, Lee, that they evened each other out effectively.
Yeah, I suppose both of them are surely.
One of them must have felt bad for the other.
They're maybe just thinking, like, which one of that's going to end up on League of Sunday? Or at least he did one, so that'll cut down the replay footage of mine, do you know? Yeah, two terrible goals, but it was actually an interesting enough game. Like, Roscommon sort of, they kind of half made a game of it early on. It was a lot tighter than you thought it would be, even though you knew they were going to be relegated. and that Derry were going to find that second gear eventually. Just Roscommon, they're just so completely over reliant on Enda Smith doing too much. Do you know, like, he has to make massive drives and pays off. Like, that's how good a footballer he is. He scored a point at the start of the first half and the start of the second half where he just took on the whole defence, you know, and he made something out of nothing. But, like, if that's your main arsenal, you know, you talk about being predictable, whilst Derry, on the other hand, have so many weapons, and the performance of Lachlan Murray is just worth lauding because he was outrageous. 1-4, and it's that he finished with right foot, left foot, switching hands, switching feet. The variety of scores, like, he's a proper finisher in the sense that putting the ball in the net and over the bar is top priority for him, you know. And we've been waiting for him to sort of arrive on this stage. And, like, there was a lot of talk about Cormac Murphy a couple of weeks ago after his performance against Tyrone. But I always still thought that Lachlan Murray was maybe going to be the next big forward in Derry. And hopefully he gets a run of games now and we can see more performances like this.
Our Derry... Right to be favourites for Ulster.
Yeah, you have to put them favourites for Ulster. They won the last two. I do think his first game against Donegal is the most important. I actually tipped Donegal to win Ulster this year. I just think with the Jim McGuinness effect, with Derry having won the last two and maybe not prioritising it, you know, it's just a good time.
Yeah.
But having heard that Patrick McBurdy and Ryan McHugh picked up injuries in their last match and may not be playing, that does kind of change things. But if Derry get through the Donegal game, they'll win Ulster. But it's not going to be an easy task.
Roscommon gone. Will they struggle in Division 2? Or I think Monaghan will probably come straight back up. I see Roscommon maybe struggling a small bit.
They might struggle a small bit because, like, you have to ask, like, you know, will Davy Burke be there next year? Situations like this, depending on how they go in the championship, that a change in management could come in. Some teams get a bounce out of that, and then others, it sort of compounds the sort of... fall from the top level. I would be keeping an eye on Down, who came through Division 3. They're growing massively, rather rapidly, under Conor Laverty, and they'll be wanting to attack what I think isn't the strongest Division 2 table in a long time.
Yeah,
so, like, they'll see that as an opportunity. So there's a very early tip for next year, you know, Down to get promoted. But, Roscommon could struggle.
Do you think Roscommon could struggle now?
In Division 2, look, they could. You don't really know, I suppose, at this stage. We'll see how the championship goes for them. But it was a typical kind of Roscommon display from this league campaign, that a bit like the Tipperary Hurlers, it was patchy. You know, you just don't have the consistency in the game. And you had them there 1-8 to 1-8 with, 50 minutes gone. And you didn't really expect... I didn't expect them to hold it out, and they didn't. Sure, they were well beaten.
Yeah.
In the end, didn't it nearly go up to double scores, 2-19 to 1-19, more than double scores. Like, Davy Burke was... things just don't seem to be right in that Roscommon camp. Whatever it is, like, since the St. Bridget's, like, lads came back, I don't know what... It just hasn't clicked, like, and you were expecting... Like, you were expecting a good league campaign after St. Bridget's doing so well, and they were, like, brilliant that day. Ben O'Carroll's injury is obviously a big thing, but... Don't know, and I expected so much from them under Davy Burke. I think he's a good manager, but just things aren't going well for them. So definitely worried about them. Lee mentioned there, like, Ulster, and I think I'm really looking forward to the Ulster Championship. Like, Paddy McCreary, you'd really feel for him, wouldn't you? Because he missed, didn't he miss all of last year with the hamstring?
Pretty much, that's why it was so important that he got a big league campaign under his belt, and he had done right up until the last game. You know, I'd say he was primed and ready for a proper Ulster Championship. His first one maybe in a couple of years, you know, because where he's fit and ready.
Had he pulled it off the bone, like, it was a serious hamstring injury last year. Like, and you'd just be, you'd be worried, like, you'd be disappointed for him. But Ulster will be brilliant because, like, you say Derry, if they beat Donegal, you know that they'll be there, thereabouts. Like, I think Armagh are probably playing better than they ever have as well. Like, so.
And see, you say to the draw they're on as well. Like, Drone, Monaghan, Derry, Donegal are all one side of the draw. Then it's Armagh.
Antrim, is it?
No, Cavan's with Monaghan. So they've got Antrim, Fermanagh down, like, probably be the toughest.
They will get to us finally.
Like, it, they couldn't ask for any more. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Like, with Kieran McGinney and how long he's been in charge. Another Ulster final, like, if you're going to win one, this is the time.
Give me a prediction for Dublin Derry final.
I think Derry are going to win. Sometimes when
That's a bold show.
I just have this mad thing about, like, when teams absolutely destroy a team, and then the next game's the final or whatever, they're always lackluster. Dublin's a completely different animal. Like, the rules don't nearly apply to them, but just historically, like, off my head. Down last year, do you remember they beat Laois in the Tailteann Cup final? It was like 8 goals, like something crazy. And then in the final itself against Meath, they just missed everything. You know, like, they would have given anything to have stole one of them goals.
That's not happened, Dublin.
I don't. But then, and also because of how good Derry are, it's not just because I think Dublin will capitulate or anything like that. But just these weird little things sort of go into it. And I think Derry want it more. I Derry winning the league could be even more important to them than winning an Ulster, because they know they can win Ulster. They've got two in the bag. A league which has sort of solidified where they're at right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think Derry will win. I think Dublin win the All-Ireland. I think Derry will win the league.
Okay. I'm saying Dublin by 4 points. Monaghan, 114. Mayo, 213. Look, we know Monaghan were already going down anyway, and there's no footage at all to be found on this one. Apparently Monaghan played well enough. Were they a right team to go down over the course of the league? You'd have to say so.
Yeah, I mean, you have to say so. Like, we always,
it's there.
We love it when they manage to pull it off. Like, the only other team that was close was Galway, and I think they deserve to stay up given just how resilient they were, given all the injuries and things. You know, they handled it so well. So Roscommon and Monaghan probably, you know, on form, yeah, you know, deserve to go down. But I think they'll come straight back up, Monaghan.
My two favourite teams.
Yeah, right enough. It's
tough time, but they definitely deserve to go down. Definitely Roscommon anyway. Monaghan were a bit unlucky that day against Tyrone, a little bit.
Oh God, I don't know. Well, this is the thing about Tyrone as well. Even retrospectively looking at that, talking about playing pure football, why did they ever let them back into that game? As it was game of the season so far, but like, they could have put them to the sword and they couldn't.
Yeah, sorry, Matthew, open we're thing. Getting it's, you going again.
Just cut the thing.
Elster in Division 2, Fermanagh going down as well. Cavan 113, Fermanagh 214. Cork drew with Armagh. That's a good game for a good performance from the Rebels anyway.
Yeah.
Finally, at last. I mean, I know Armagh are in the final anyway. And it was a dead rubber because Cork knew also they were safe. But it means Cork are probably in Sam Maguire now as well, which good from our point of view. Stephen Sherlock nearly won it for us at the end. Donegal 118, Meath 110. As you were kind of saying earlier, Jim McGuinness wasn't too happy with
the tightness of the games and so on. Yeah, and Colm O'Rourke was actually the exact same. So,
but why did Jim play?
Yeah.
All his best players in the last game. And especially given it's famous how much he runs the life out of them boys this time of year, do you know? So I found it a bit, why would you, just, you have a league final already bagged?
Just shout out to Garvin Jones, he got 1-7 from play. Like, you rarely see a lad getting 1-7 from play.
Outrageous, yeah. So, and they did get the win, but relegated, so.
And then Kildare 12 points, Louth 1-12, just a terrible time to be a Kildare fan, or involved in Kildare at all.
Yeah, it was at 0 points, all in. Yeah. That means they'll be Tailteann Cup unless they...
They're on the right side, though, in Leinster.
Yeah, but look at the way they're playing. I mean, who would you... Are they, you know, like, is there even a right side for them? They're just on form at the minute. Like, they're just one of the worst teams about currently on form. But it's that whole, like, Ross Colin and that Tyrone thing, you know, when they have their best 15 and everything's going right, they're more than capable of taking a... or beating some of the proper big teams, but I don't know. Like, it's just,
it was a good game that Louth. I think Louth deserved to stay up on the balance. They kind of had a few unlucky sort of results and losses under Gerbrennan, but they're playing well. And Ryan Burns has been brilliant the last two games. Definitely, he got 1-3 there from play at the weekend. And yeah, Louth deserved. It was actually exciting enough.
It's
elite.
Like, if you're going down, you know, you're deserving of.
Yeah, you've had seven chances, like.
So Division 2 final, Donegal, Armagh. Well, predictions there for that one, Niall? Just a quick one.
Armagh.
I'll say Armagh just because of the injuries.
Division 3, Down, Westmeath.
Down.
Surely Down.
Westmeath.
Ball show.
I think they're a very underrated team, Westmeath. They could have knocked Tyrone out of the championship last year. They lost to Sligo yesterday, but they were missing some key players. Like, Ronan Wallace was out, and I think Westmeath are underrated, and I think Down are a little bit overrated. So,
okay, Wicklow, Limerick going down there into Division 4, and then in Division 4, Laois, Leitrim. Two counties I haven't seen a whole lot of, no, in fairness, but
well, just going on form, you'd say Laois are strong favourites. I think they were pretty dominating all season, and Leitrim were they're kind of lucky they maybe got it because of that.
That was nearly going to be my bad point of the weekend, was that Wexford didn't go up, you know,
on the back of that. But at the same time, you know, Leitrim they've been very unlucky in recent years as well, and it all comes around, doesn't it? So, and it's good for Andy Moore, you know, that he's doing well. He went for jobs apparently, and was told he didn't get them because he wasn't a big enough name. So he took the Leitrim job and got them promoted. You can't really ask for much more.
We now go to everyone's favourite segment here on the GAA Hour. It is the infamous player problems. Except, I don't know, is this really a player problem? But I thought it would get a reaction anyway.
Sure, it'll annoy a player somewhere.
This is an Oz problem.
Yeah.
I put up on the GAA Joe Twitter, GAA_Joe. Do you think Croker is right to open its doors as a fan zone for the Europa League final in Dublin? Send in your replies with GAA Hour tomorrow. And then in my little Canva... picture.
Yeah, it was nice.
Image. Wasn't it well now? You're in Clapbooks well. Should Croker open its doors as a Liverpool fan zone? So Oisín comes in anyway straight away and says, who are Liverpool playing in the final? Sean Campbell goes, no, Croke Park should be the final venue. Niall, traditionalist now, playing the Europa League final in Croker.
No.
Out.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
You'd be far better venue.
They play concerts. Like, why would you not play? It doesn't make any sense. The doors are either closed or they're open. Do you know? It's one or the other.
Mickey Rennix, wasn't Wembley used for Gaelic years ago? Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a good while ago. Like I think even Derry and stuff played there in the 80s. Like All-Ireland champions would have went on tour and stuff. But yeah, strange enough.
There was an All-Ireland final in New York once, wasn't there, as well, I think?
Yeah.
Cavan and Kerry, I think.
Ken Lido. I don't have an ideological objection, but sounds like it could be a bit of a disaster and also seems unfair on local residents. Yeah, should we have to listen to the residents again? Like,
I mean. Well, none of you make enough noise in Croke Park. You can't hear them.
They make more outside selling flags, scarves and headbands. Don, why not? I presume they will get well paid for it. Tony Kavanagh, yes, of course. Jimmy Kelly, 100%. That's what sports stadiums are for, Niall.
I'm only playing up to a character there, saying that I don't think the final should be for being Croke Park. I said it last week. I've absolutely no issue with the fan zone being opened up. I'm a very open-minded traditionalist.
Skelly says no. Full stop. Oh, Mick Kyo says croaker, vomit emoji. Daniel Norden says no. Fla says if they're making money for the GA, no brainer. Joe Flaherty says no, they'll probably wreck the place and blame the locals. Yeah, you know, maybe they will. Keevine, does a business want to earn money is the real question. Of course they should open. A few more stronger ones here. Pete says no, the tramps would wreck it.
The tramps just being soccer. Any Liverpool just soccer fans in general, yeah.
I think Liverpool. I think Liverpool. Because I think there was a few United people in the replies. Snowball comes and says, no chance, them cunts will steal the very seats.
Then Kilkenny will be able to.
Sarah 18 plus says, I have a far better gift in my bio link, wet emoji.
Oh, did you?
what did she think?
Her next guest.
We'll have to get her on the pod, lads.
We'll have to, find out what this gift is.
Kroger's doors won't be anything open. Official Simon Webb comes in. Personally, I think yes, as would generate great revenue for them. Yeses, noes. Stephen Hovenden-Keen. Absolutely, it would be brilliant. Anyone saying otherwise is obviously a jealous rival. Yeah, Chelsea fan, you're jealous of Liverpool being in the Europa League.
No, they haven't made it yet.
They're in the quarterfinals.
They're playing what? At Atalanta?
Oh, well, they'll win that game, obviously.
So the Europa League is only a Mickey Mouse competition anyway, like.
Yeah, probably, to be fair.
Tyke Darcy says, yes, it would be an honour to have Jurgen Klopp to see your amazing stadium.
That's for that.
Nice point, yeah.
Yeah, happy enough. Would you we go a sports show and try interview Klopp, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
He won't call me.
Well, we'll get this girl on first and then we'll get Jurgen.
As the former Roscommon media manager did on Twitter.
By the way he's going though, Jurgen Klopp, he might. He's getting very cross with these
interviews. I don't know if I want to get
better as well. So. James _ Irwin comes in and says, no, why should it? Mark D 277 says, no, Croker should host the game if Liverpool are playing. Yeah, again, more sentiments deliver the game actually been held. It's probably too late, I'd imagine, to change the venue at this point. But they wouldn't be able to use Hill 16 either, because it wouldn't be up to the UEFA code.
Wouldn't it?
No, it's the same problem with Parky Cueve, with the terraces.
What, does it have to be... See? You just can't have terraces, like?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, right.
No, maybe there can be something done, or like...
Yeah.
Temporary seating, but I don't know how that works. Michael Brown comes in and says, yes, of course, it's 2024. Derek Corcoran, no. Elan's 10, absolutely fucking not. Fahy Owen, I think Croke should open up to concerts, which it already does, and Irish sporting events. Dot, 100%, absolutely. Donal O'Dovtig, it's an Irish name here, right? Terrible at it. Absolutely, would be a fantastic occasion, and Liverpool as a city has a lot of historical links with Ireland. Connor Dunn says yes. Roddy Lair says no. Thomas Craig says, it's 2024. Let go of this. No foreign sports site. Yeah, Niall. And Jay, take on anything.
Just let go of it now.
Niall, will you stop going on? I'm honest.
Break.
Like, how old are you? Like,
Jesus. It's 2024, apparently.
It's my birthday on Tuesday, lads. I'm pushing on.
what age are you?
27, man.
At 28, you have to leave the show. You can no longer be the young person.
On. It's in the contract.
I'm getting on. It's like MTV. I'm getting on, lads.
Jeez, yeah, that's where your opinions are coming from. You're so stuck in the Middle Ages, like. Right, the full-time whistle has gone. Thanks a million for joining us once more here on the GA Hour. Be sure to retweet us, repost any of our content. That's so important to help us grow. And be sure to tell your friends about us as well. Throw us in the old club group chat. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Niall, Lee, it's been a pleasure. I'll chat to you both again next week.
Cheers, Dan.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.